You know, I got to thinking about when she was talking about, you know, giving, and, you know, it's very interesting. The Bible says that generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firmly in their generosity. Brenda and I are going to sow a significant seed in a week or two. But, you know, it's a great challenge for us to be intentional in our giving. In other words, planning ways to give. Now, when the Spirit of the Lord gives you something to do and give you something to give, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Because sometimes when you're sowing your seed, the devil come along and start talking to you. And say, what are you going to do if it doesn't work? Well, we just turn it right around and say, what are you going to do, devil, when it does work? So your generosity actually activates the ability of God in your life. Amen. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, it's according to the power of God that is at work in us. And when we're talking about generosity, we're not just talking about being generous with our finances. How about with our time? How about with our talent? How about with our touch? Did you know when you lay hands on the people around you in the name of Jesus, that the touch of God, the Master, will touch people's life through you and people can be healed and delivered? It's a wonderful thing. You can express generosity with your words. There's a lot of discouraged people around. But you know what? The Bible says that Jesus is the glory and the lifter of our heads. And I believe that one of the greatest calls on the body of Christ is not to be people that tear people down, but we are builders and we are lifters of people around us. I'm telling you, a word to a weary soul in season can change their life forever. So purpose in your heart to be generous. Somebody says, well, I don't have $1,000. Do you have $1? Do what God has put in your hand. And I'll tell you what, he will take what he puts in your hand. And as you put it in his hand, he will multiply your seed sown. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and didn't Brenda do a great job last week talking about Thanksgiving? I'm telling you, it was so, so very good. But we talked about, you know, that God has a system for increase. It is the law of sowing and reaping. In Matthew, or Mark chapter 4, we looked at that, verses 26 through 29. It said, and so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should sow seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he doesn't know how. First, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Read verse 29 with me. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he pucketh in the sickle, because the harvest is come. As I said a couple of weeks ago, as a child of God, in the kingdom of God, speaking God's word is actually sowing his word into the ground of your heart. And once it is sown, you got to nurture it. You got to protect it. And we must water the seeds that have been sown. And I've discovered this. In addition to sowing your seed, meditating on God's word many times is the step between sowing and reaping. You'll notice over in Psalms chapter 1, in verses 1 through 3, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Notice this next verse, but his delight is in the word of God. His delight is in the word of God. Some of you got delighted at your pumpkin pie. Some of you got so very happy at your, what is it, sweet something pie? Sweet potato pie. There it is. Thank you for the unction, Lord. I felt that up in here. You got real delighted at that. Well, if you can get delighted at that, you sure enough should get delighted at the good word of God. Amen. His delight is in the word of the Lord. And in his word does he meditate day and night. Now notice this. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Woo, glory to God. That brings forth his fruit and his season. And guess what? His leaf is not going to wither. Amen. Thank God we're not about to wither, are we? We're about to revive. So the word meditate means to mutter. It means to ponder. It means to talk to thyself. It's an inward conversation, an outward conversation. It's chewing over, it's pondering, it's musing the Word of God. And something happens on the inside of us when we meditate in the Word. What happens is we begin to draw divine power, just like that tree draws water from the soil. Amen? And as a result, we will bring forth fruit. Amen. You know, Paul told young Timothy, he said, I want you to meditate upon the things that have just happened in your life. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, somewhere around there. He said, meditate wholly upon these things, that thy profiting may appear to all. Amen. Thy profiting. Another way we could say is that thy progress is appearing to all. Amen. How many of you know that you're making progress? Amen. You did the right thing today by coming to church. Amen. You're making progress. And we're saying this around Heart of the Bay all the time in the staff. Glory to God. We may not be yet where we want to be, but thank God we're on our way. Hey, we're on our way, and we are making progress. Look at your neighbor and say, we are making progress. I think it's wonderful. Notice this with me once again. Here's what happens when you meditate in the Word of God. When a tree is well watered, you can see the fruit and you can see the green leaves. In the same way, you can receive the results of God's Word in your life. People around you will be able to see, look what the Lord has done. We read that testimony today by Andre and Tracy. Thank God for what He has done. Thank God for what He's doing in your life. And you know, we need to determine in our hearts, we're going to get happy in all the things that God has done for us. Just look back and see what the Lord has done. Just think about all that He's done. Say this with me, what He's done for others, He's doing for me. And all the glory and all the praise goes to our good, good Father. Oh, glory to God, that you're profiting, that your progress may appear to all. In other words, it'll be known. It'll be something that people can see. They can see the fruit of the blessing upon your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, for the most part, we're going to reap in a different season than when we sow. Have you found that out?
Yes.
That's why the book of Galatians tells us in 6:9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't give up, if we don't faint. Now, I want you to notice the word due season. Everyone say due season. Now, remember, we talked about farmers last time I preached. Remember, the farmer doesn't plant one day and expect to receive a full harvest the next day.
No.
Does he?
No.
In the meantime, he is constantly looking and expecting the harvest to come. So I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't become faint-hearted. It's harvest time.
Hallelujah.
It's harvest time. It's harvest time in the world. It's harvest time in false religions. It's time for false religions, people from false religions, to come into the family of God.
Yes.
Glory to God. Say it's harvest time with me two times. It's harvest time. It is harvest time. Amen. And so then, between the amen, if you will, and the here it is, we need to be patient and not give up. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, talks about there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. Amen? So understand this, that sowing and reaping, there is a time factor in it. There's a season between the believing and the receiving. So the question would be, is what do I do in that interim period of time? Well, keep your expectation high. Keep on thanking the Lord. Keep on praising Him. When it doesn't look like or feel like anything is happening, maintain your joy. Do some laughing. Do some shouting. Our good friend Mark Hankin says this, rejoicing oftentimes is the bridge between believing and receiving. Amen. If you really believe that you have sown your seed and the harvest is coming, you need to rejoice and thank God. A lot of times, Brenda and I will get up in the morning. Certainly, we have our Hallelujah Hallway upstairs. And Hallelujah Hallway gets a good workout. But I go into the living room now where we have a nice rug there. And early in the morning, a lot of times, even BC, I'm talking about before coffee. You know you're motivated, BC, before coffee. I'll get on the dance floor and I'll just start doing a little dance. Now, I don't dance as fast as I used to in my 30s, but I still can dance. You know, Brother Hagin used to do Brush Arbor spells. And he used to really run and shout, but when he got into his 70s and his 80s, he started scooting. Well, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Whether it be a scoot or a full bore 100-yard dash or a dance before the Lord, we need to learn to rejoice in the Lord. As we rejoice in the Lord, it will strengthen us. It will keep us from being faint. It will cause us to reap whatever God has called us to reap. Glory to God. Amen. Are there any dancers in the house? Glory to God. You know, David danced with all of his might. He danced before the Lord, did he not? And guess what? His wife didn't like it. But you know what David's response was? I wasn't dancing for you. I was dancing for the Lord. Amen. Amen. And he says, I'm about to get a little bit more aggressive about it. Amen. And so I believe this, that your rejoicing will strengthen you. It will help you maintain your joy. What I'm saying this morning is this. Know this, that God is working. How many know God does not always pay on Friday? Payday is not always on the 15th with Him. But payday with God always comes. It always comes. Harvest always comes. I want you to notice now something the book of Hebrews said about this. You know, of course, we know it says that we are through faith and patience. We follow those who through faith and patience. And as a result, we inherit the promises, right? But notice Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. And I want you to read this with me as soon as it gets up there on the screen. Are you there? All right, let's read together. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Now, let's talk first of all about casting not away, therefore, your confidence. There was a college basketball coach that saw that his players were not enjoying playing. And as a result of them not enjoying playing, they lacked confidence. And he talked to them and he says, guys, you need to start enjoy playing this game. It reminds me of the time in high school when someone in the locker room said, when we were playing for a consolation title in the state tournament, someone said, hey, guys, let's just play basketball like we're playing in our backyard. Now, I don't know whether you can relate to that or not, but backyard basketball is fun. You can throw your elbows. You can push your brother. You can hit a three and smile at him. You can do a little trash talking. It's enjoyable. And so he started talking to them about being confident and enjoying playing the game. And over the process of the time, they got enthused about just having fun. I think as Christians, we need to be a little more enthused about having fun and enjoying life. I'm going to say that one more time. I think as Christians, we need to get a little bit more enthused about enjoying life and having some good old-fashioned fun. You will get confident in Him as you do. Well, the result of this was the team went on a winning streak. They won several games in a row. Why? Because they forgot about all of the legalistic aspects of the game, and they just went out there and started having fun. Amen. See, they were confident. And you see, that's how God wants you to be in the game of life. I know that life is not a game, but He wants you to be confident. Yeah. And he does not want you to cast away your fearless confidence. And the reason why he said is this, because it has a great recompense of reward. Now, the word recompense literally means payday.
Amen.
Amen. You know, everybody gets a little sassy on payday. I mean, everybody gets a little happy on payday. Do you get happy on payday? I get extra happy on payday. But notice with me, as you're sowing and as you're reaping and as you're keeping your joy and you're rejoicing in the Lord, you are confidently expecting payday to come. Woo, glory to God. Now, I want you to notice here, it says it's not a mediocre recompense. He says it's a great recompense. Amen. I'm telling you that a great payday is on the way for you. Amen. The story has been told of a mom who was at Disney World, and her little boy, I think he was about 4 or 5 years old, was crying, and he was whining and complaining because the lines were real long, and he was just frustrated. He was miserable. And mom came up to him and shook him and said, "You're going to have fun, whether you like it or not. I didn't bring you here to whine and complain. I brought you here so that you could have fun." Amen. And then she went on to explain to him why he was going to have fun. And she said, "We drove for hours and hours and hours to get here to Disney World. We came a long, long way." And then she said, "And furthermore, I paid a high price for us to get in to Disney World." Amen. So she said, "You're going to enjoy your time here. Look at you," she said. "You got your hat on. I bought you a hat. I bought you ice cream. Now dry up those tears." And I can just about imagine our Heavenly Father getting hold of some of his kids. I mean, they're whining and they're complaining, they're moaning and they're groaning and they're all depressed. I can imagine God saying, "I didn't bring you here to be sad, broke, busted, and disgusted. I brought you here that you might have dominion. I brought you here that you may exercise your authority over those things that are coming against you." Amen.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Then I can just about imagine Jesus coming along and saying, "I've come here that you might have life. I didn't bring you into my kingdom for you to fail or for you to be a victim. I brought you into my kingdom so that you could rule and you could reign and so that you could enjoy life." And then I can imagine him explaining why you're going to have fun. It goes something like this. It took us 5,000 years to get here. Right from Adam, right through the old covenant, right from the fall of man, right on through the gospels, right on through the death and the burial and the resurrection. It took us a long time to get here, and I came a long way. And I paid a high price for you to be acting like that. Some of you need to get stirred up in your spirit and stop putting up what the devil's trying to put on you. And put him back where he belongs, which is under your feet. Stop putting up with his disease. Stop putting up with his depression. Stop putting up with it. Just tell the devil, "You know what? I thought about being depressed, but when I thought about the blood, when I thought about the blood, when I thought about in him, I have redemption through the blood of Jesus. When I thought about the blood, how it saved me, it sanctified me, it set me apart. When I thought about the overcoming power of the blood, I just said to myself, no more depression days for me. Days of prayer, days of blessing, days of joy." You see, he paid too much. for me to be depressed. I thought about being sick. Oh, but thank God when I heard that Jesus bore my sicknesses. When I heard that by His stripes I was healed. When I heard that He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth me. He is the great physician and He's still making out calls. When I heard that He is my healer, I just, sickness and disease, you got to go. You got to get out of my life. Woo, glory to God. Amen. And I thought about being broke. But when I found out Jesus left His home in heaven, He was rich and He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be rich, that we might have a full supply. When I heard that, I said, no mas, Mr. Devil. I will not yield to poor poverty in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus came a long way. He came a long way. He paid a high price. He left His home in heaven. He came to here on earth. He walked about on earth for 33 and a half years. When He entered into His ministry at age 30, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him because He was anointed. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. He fed the multitude. He cast out demons. He healed lepers. He did wonderful works. But the greatest work that the Master did is He went to Calvary for you and I. On the cross, He paid the full debt. Oh yeah, He came a long way. But it wasn't just at the cross. It's when He was buried, when He went into the bowels of the earth, when He went into hell itself for you and for me. He went a long way, but He wasn't done yet. He wasn't done yet, because on that third day, He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He came a long way. Hallelujah. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So I'm not going to sit here and worry about my PG&E bill. I'm not going to sit here and worry about a $495,000 goal. I don't worry about those things. I don't worry about those things because my Father watches over us. My Father takes good care of us. He paid a high price for you. He paid a high price for you to have a peace that passes understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Well, I've done it again. I've preached myself happy already. Amen. He is faithful. You have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So what do? We rejoice and we keep the switch of faith turned on. Is He faithful to His word? Yes. Brenda quoted it in Philippians chapter 4:19 in the Passion Translation. Go ahead and read this with me. I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have. Let's stop right there. Every need? Every need you have. Oh, that's good. Continue. For I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through Jesus Christ. I just dropped by this morning to remind you that He is our abundant provider. Amen. Noah's dictionary from 1828, Webster's dictionary from 1828 says, the word abundant means one who provides, the one who furnishes, or the one who supplies. Amen. And oftentimes this verse is used in the area of financial needs, but it covers much more than financial needs. He's talking about every need that we have. F.F. Bosworth, in his book, Christ the Healer, said this. He said, Jesus Christ went to the cross, spirit, soul, and body, to redeem mankind, spirit, soul, and body. That's good news, isn't it? You know, I think about what God has done for me. On December 18th, I will celebrate 50 years of being free from drug addiction. And it's not because of me, It's because of what he has done. It's not because of who I am. It's because of whose I am. Amen? But think about the goodness of God in your spirit, man. He brought you out of darkness. You're not going to hell. Somebody says, well, I'm experiencing a little hell here on earth right now, Pastor Mark. Yeah, but you're not talking about the real hell. Amen. God can do something about the hell you're experiencing here on earth. But once a person is in hell, it's done. Oh, glory to God. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But not only that, he also supplied your need in the area of your mind and your will and your emotions. He doesn't want us to go through life all bummed out and all full of anxiety. Every area of your life, he met your need. And as a matter of fact, he's still a miracle worker. You know, we talk about the law of seed time and harvest. We talk about a season between the amen, the here it is, between the believing and the receiving, between the planting and the reaping. But how many of you know God's not limited to that? He's a miracle worker. And he can still do breakthrough miracles provisionally in our lives. Amen. You think about it. His first provisional miracle, actually his first miracle that he performed was a provisional miracle. Remember when he turned the water into wine at the wedding in Cana? His mother asked him to do something. And Jesus responded by saying, my hour has not yet come. But how many of you know what mama says usually goes? I mean, the influence of mama. She turned to the servants and he said, whatever he says to you, you do it. Well, as a result, glory to God, the water turned into wine. They saved the best wine till the last. Amen? And then you think about another provisional miracle when he fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, 5 loaves. Well, somebody says it wasn't really a miracle because the loaves were bigger back then than they were today. Come on, somebody. Pray for a brain transplant there. No. There were 5 loaves, 2 fishes. A 2-piece fish dinner from Long John Silver's. And some little biscuits from Popeyes. He lifted those up before the Father and he thanked them, thanked him for it. And as a result, the loaves were multiplied, the fish were multiplied, and 5,000 men plus women and children were fed. Woo, glory to God. 12 baskets left over. So you know what I'm believing in this day and this hour in which we live? I'm believing for provisional miracles for this house. I'm believing for provisional miracles for everyone in this house. Amen. Unique and unusual avenues of revenue and streams of provision. Hey, whatever it takes. Know this, that Jesus intended for you and I to enjoy a good life with all of our needs abundantly met. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, you know this verse very well in the Amplified. Let's read it together. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Woo, glory to God. Do you like that? Enjoy life. Enjoy life. I like the definition for enjoy. It means to relish. What does relish do? Relish adds zestful flavor to a hot dog. Relish adds zestful. Here I go talking about food again. Somebody help me. What we need to do, we need to learn to tap into God's abundant provision. It'll add flavor, add favor, and add spice to your life. Did you know it's not his plan for us to live a dull, boring, redundant life? Redundant is not abundant life. No, it's his goal, it's his will for us to have adventures in faith. A life that's filled with the joy of the Lord. Another translation says, I've come to give life with joy and abundance. So know this, that abundance is attached to joy. The greater joy that I function in, the greater abundance I will have. You know, Jerry Savelle, wonderful man of God, he's in heaven. Aren't you glad he's with Jesus? Amen. He finished his course. He's with the Lord. But his teaching goes on. His works do follow him. Amen. And one of the most classic statements that Jerry ever said is this. He said, if Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. If Satan can't steal your joy, he cannot keep your goods. I feel a ha, ha, ha coming on. Let's just follow the pattern of Mark Hankins right now. Let's laugh by faith. Ha! Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, in the beginning, God created the Garden of Eden, and he intended for man to live abundantly provided for. Amen. And he hasn't changed his mind. Look over at Psalm 36, verse 7 and 8. He said, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Oh, I love that. They're abundantly satisfied. When the fullness of your house, give them drink from the river of your pleasures. So the question is this, how does God satisfy? He satisfies abundantly. He satisfies excessively. He satisfies overflowing with surplus, over and above, more than enough. Now, I love this word abundantly here. This word abundantly means to saturate and to be drenched. How many of you have ever been in a downpour of rain? A couple of camp meetings ago when we were at Hagen's Ministry to celebrate their 50th camp meeting. Wow, there was a tornado out there and there was a downpour. I had a new sport coat on. And I didn't really know the gravity of the rain. So I said, let's just go to the car. We didn't have anything. So we ran to the car. And by the time we got to the car, Brenda's pages in her Bible still have water stains in them. My coat was just drenched. I want you to get the picture that God wants to drench you. God wants to intoxicate you. God wants to overcome you with the goodness and the rains of the Spirit. Amen. In Psalm 36, verse 8, in the Amplified, it says, they relish and feast on the abundance of your house, and you cause them to drink of the stream of your pleasures. Yeah. Feasting on abundance at the Father's table. Amen. Do you like the word feast? Yes. What comes to mind when you think of the word feast? You think of Thanksgiving. Is that right? Yeah. On the other hand, opposite of feast, perhaps you've been in this experience before. Maybe you've made a reservation, even at a high-end restaurant or just a regular restaurant, and you were expecting a big feast. And you went away from that place just so disappointed because of a bad experience. Maybe it was bad service or the servings were so small. I mean, you needed a magnifying glass to see the meat. And we went to a high-end steakhouse the other day. I want to tell you what it is. We met John and Lindy and the girls and her dad at a high-end steakhouse in San Jose, California. And man, I was disappointed because I ordered my steak one way, but it came another way. And then my little granddaughter ordered her steak one way, and it came another way. So we swapped steaks. But, you know, You pay high dollar for that, and you can be very disappointed. You didn't leave satisfied. How many of you have ever been invited to a banquet, and you were not eating all day? Now, hopefully this will not happen at any of the fellowships that you're going to be going to this month in December. But I've been to banquets before. And my expectations were very high because maybe we paid $50, $60 a plate. I'm thinking, wow, they're going to have something really good. Maybe like prime rib. And out comes this little rubber chicken. I mean, you cut into it, you think you're cutting into a tennis ball or something. And we said, well, that's not so great. Then you look over at the other side of the plate and you've got these soaked veggies. And they're wilted. And the lettuce is all brown. But that's not the way it is on the Father's table. I said, that's not the way it is on the Father's table. In Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, you serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head and my cup runs over. So your Father is not into tiny portions. He's not into rubber chicken or cold mashed potatoes. There's an awesome spread on the Father's table. Amen. Amen. Another thing we need to realize is there's no wait time in the Father's kitchen. You don't have to get on a guest list. You do not have to wait. The Father's table is full. Here's what the psalmist said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He didn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I'm full of want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall never lack. I shall never lack. Then he goes on to say, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. Get the picture of a sheep so full of good things that he has to lay down. Some of you were like that Thursday afternoon. You were in a spiritual coma. A food coma. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. What's the next one? He leads us. Beside what? He leads you beside still waters. That's your shepherd. That's the one who meets your needs. He leads you beside still waters. And as you partake of those still waters, as you become calm in his presence, the next verse says, he restores my soul. Woo, glory to God. How many of you have ever had your soul restored? I think some people need their souls restored. He restores my soul. What's the next part say? He leads me paths of righteousness for what? For his name's sake. Next verse says, yeah, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Woo! For you are with me. His rod and his staff, what does it do? It comforts us. Amen. Even though maybe you've gone through some difficult times, he said he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. Let's look at the next verse. We might as well. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me. Where? He prepares a table before you right here in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil and your cup is running over. Is that God meeting your need? Is that your good shepherd taking good care of you? Say with me, my good shepherd takes care of me in grand style. He anoints my head with oil. And my cup is not just full, but my cup is running over. I serve a running over kind of God. He is El Shaddai. He is more than enough. Woo, glory to God. Don't be satisfied with your cup being half full. Don't even be satisfied with your cup being completely full. Get satisfied and get happy when your cup starts running over. Amen. That's the more than enough kind of God. Let's look at the last verse. And surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Think about that. Think about that. Surely goodness and mercy are following you right now. That's the Lord being good to you. That's your good shepherd taking care of you here and now with goodness and mercy. But we'll notice the next of the verse, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's got you covered here, but he's also got you covered there. That's your good shepherd. I want to encourage you this morning to expect God to speak to you this month. Expect God to give you some things by his Spirit concerning 2025. How many of you are looking to the Lord for some direction for this next year? I'll raise both hands. Amen. Well, the good news is this. He said, when we obey Scripture, that he will open the windows of heaven. How many of you know there's windows of heaven? He said, I will open unto you the windows of heaven. And I'm going to pour you out a blessing that there should hardly be room enough for you to receive. Now, I heard something from Oral Roberts, and I heard this from Kenneth Copeland many years ago about the windows of heaven. Everyone say windows,
windows.
Of heaven.
Of heaven.
Part of God opening those windows of heaven to you are done in three letters. Everyone say I.
C.
I stands for insights. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
C stands for concepts. I stands for ideas. So here's what you can expect. As you align yourself with godly principles concerning tithing before the Lord, you can expect the windows of heaven to be opened to you. He's going to give us ideas. He's going to give us concepts. He's going to give us insights. Now, what that boils down to is God, by his Spirit, is going to download his wisdom into your inner man. And when his wisdom is downloaded into your inner man, you're going to be able to see clearly things that you have not been able to see before. You'll be able to know things that up to now you have not been able to know.
Amen.
Now, these ideas and these concepts and these insights will only come as you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
As you believe it. And as you receive it. And as you expect it. You've got to be looking to him to give you that download.
Amen.
It does not come by being a casual observer. It comes by being a diligent seeker of the Lord.
Amen.
So at the top of this month in December, I just want to encourage you to believe and to receive a harvest on the seeds you have sown. And part of that harvest is ideas, it's concepts, and it's insights. Understand this, that wisdom for life is the principal thing.
Amen.
We do not want to go through life half-cocked. We do not want to go through life by what we think we should do. We need to step very, very cautiously into the future with a sure-footed attitude of just knowing this is what God is saying. I know this idea is from God. I know this concept is from him. I know this insight. Understand this, the word insight means sight within your spirit. It's something that you can see down on the inside of you. Amen? Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand and we'll pray about it. Amen? Glory to God. Raise a hand toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for the windows of glory. The windows of heaven being opened unto me. I'm asking you, sir, for spirit-led ideas, for spirit-motivated concepts, and sight on the inside of me. Insight in my spirit.
For my spirit
is the candle of the Lord. I determine in my heart on this December 1st, 2024, from this day forward, I choose to be spirit-led, not head-led, not opportunity-led, not what I think-led, but I purpose in my heart to be led by the Spirit of God. Place your hand over your heart and pray this, Holy Spirit, I invite you now to lead me and to guide me into all the truth. You said in your word that you would show me things to come. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. I declared it boldly this morning. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Raise a hand toward heaven and say, this is my receiving day. This is my harvest day. It is harvest time in this nation. It's harvest time in my church. It's harvest time in my family. I refuse to grow weary. I refuse to give up. Yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Well, can you rejoice just a little bit today? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I want you to know that I've added that to my prayer just about every morning over your life. As I pray over you, I pray the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And when I pray Ephesians 1, I pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. If I were you every morning, I would say, I receive what Pastor Mark's praying for me. Then pray that over your own self. But as I pray that, I've added this. I pray that you will give your people insights. Give them ideas and give them concepts. Let your wisdom flow into their lives. And may they be changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. You know what? We're covered. We're covered by His grace. We're covered by His glory. Amen. Woo, glory. I think we ought to praise Him just a little bit more. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody says, Pastor Mark, some of the things you're talking about just seem so far away. No, no, no. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. It's in thy heart and it's in thy mouth. Keep these words treasured up in your heart. Yea, speak them boldly, declare them daily, and you will see the goodness of the Lord come upon you and yours and your life. Amen.